The Sandcastle Girls, written by Chris Bojalian and read by Cassandra Campbell and Alison Fraser.
A memory comes to him. The ridge overlooking the government office in Harput, and the melodramatic painting of Enver Pasha on the wall in the waiting room. The man was on a black horse the size of an elephant. It was in this office that our men had gone to argue about the confiscation of his and Karine's passports, both the ones for international travel and the ones for travel within the Ottoman Empire. He had Armenian friends who deluded themselves into believing that the government's demand that Armenians turn over their passports was merely a bit of wartime paranoia. But he had begun suspecting the worst right away. After all, he worked for the Baghdad Railway and was employed by the Germans. And that was why the confiscation of his passport was so ominous. He supervised the design and placement of track. And right now, the regime needed track desperately in the Dardanelles, the Middle East, and the Caucasus. Didn't the Ottoman Empire want him traveling more than ever because of this war? And so he had ventured to the government offices to see what he could learn. He knew some of the officials, including a young administrator named Nazimi. He considered the official a friend. When our man was in Harput, they played cards together, went to the cafes together, and often wound up at the steam baths together. Nazimi also fancied himself a man of science and a modernist, like so many of the Ittihad regime's party functionaries, though he had no serious schooling outside of Harput. But he always seemed to enjoy discussing the railroads with our men, because the railroads represented progress. The links to the civilized powers in the West and someday to the oil in the Southeast. Until recently, he had even seemed to need our men's approval. "And you're worried about your wife, your baby," Nazimi had said when our men came to his office and sat across the desk from him that day. The administrator's voice was so strangely deferential that afternoon it was cloying. He offered our men coffee, and they sipped it very slowly. Nazimi's office always had the aroma of coffee. "Yes," our men had told him. "I know you personally will do all that you can to protect my family. But one hears stories." The official had agreed.
"One does,"